Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Pune Rafarian, and I represent Mr. Jagmohan Singh. At this time, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Singh humbly requests that this Court remand his claim regarding asylum and withholding of removal in order to have them determined on its merits. Further, Mr. Singh requests that his petition be granted regarding protection under UN Convention Against Torture. Mr. Singh's asylum claim was barred due to the BIA's finding that his two misdemeanor convictions arising from the same incident constitute an aggravated felony.
Wasn't that a correct determination?
No, Your Honor.
Why not?
Because this court under U.S. v. Polaris-Galan found the same conviction that Mr. Singh was convicted of did not constitute aggravated felony.
Not the same conviction, I don't think, counsel. If you will note, in Polaris-Galan, the plea was to the annoy and molest count without the 314, and there was no factual determination at the time of the plea that there was any sexual conduct involved. In this case, we have an admission to lewd exposure of the genitalia on the part of Mr. Singh before a 10-year-old girl. Doesn't that change the case?
Your Honor, Mr. Under the Polaris-Galan case, the petitioner was charged with three counts of 314 in detention.
Charged, but they were dismissed. And
yes, Your Honor.
And the only plea was to 646, correct? 0.7?
Yes, Your Honor. However, in this case, if you look at the modified categorical approach to assess this, California distinguishes between a felony conduct against a kid and children and a misdemeanor, and the threshold is touching of the kid. And the other factors that can be seen is that Mr. Singh never solicited the child. Mr. Singh did not touch the child. Mr. Singh, there's no indication on record that he has an abnormal sexual interest in children. There is no indication that he was aroused by the child. The door to the truck was chained and locked, and his conviction was based on the testimony and statement of the victim, the 10-year-old child.
Isn't that typical in cases like this, that you have a victim who testifies as to what sexual conduct occurred in the circumstances that give rise to the prosecution?
Yes, Your Honor. However, they do obtain the statement of the offender as well, and here the only statement that the officer made was that there was extreme language barrier with Mr. Singh because he spoke very little English.
But he pleaded guilty, and the charge was lewdly exposing himself and the private parts thereof in a place where there were persons present, to wit, Brooke H., age 10. That's what he pleaded guilty to that. Now you're trying to try the case, it seems.
No, Your Honor, I'm not. I'm just pointing out the factors to consider in considering this an aggravated felony or not.
Didn't the BIA go through those factors? I mean, wasn't there an application of the modified categorical approach in this situation?
Your Honor, I don't believe they went thoroughly through all the factors to consider the fact that.
What do you mean by thoroughly? I mean, they went through the factors.
Your Honor, the fact that Mr. Singh spoke very little English and.
At what time?
At the time that the. Of offense occurred.
Again, you're trying to go back and retry the offense, and he stands convicted by a guilty plea of it. I don't see how, especially here in the Ninth Circuit, under these circumstances, you can go back and try to retry the offense and tell us it really didn't happen.
Your Honor, I'm not trying to retry the offense. I'm just pointing out the factors that would state that would show that it's not an aggravated felony. He got only 30 days jail time, and he was given 3 years probation. However, the cases that the BIA had raised had gotten 10 years conviction based on other state laws that I'm not familiar with that could have not had the distinction.
What's the case or principle that says we can look to the actual sentence to determine whether it was an aggravated felony or not?
Your Honor, I believe that under the modified categorical approach, you look at not necessarily just at the sentence, but you look at the overall factors, including what the sentence was imposed, to show the severity of the crime.
And what case says you look at the sentence imposed?
Your Honor, if I'm not, I don't have that on top of my head. If I can let you know on based on rebuttal. Further, Mr. Singh holds the Mr. Singh asserts that his two misdemeanors arising from the same incident did not raise to the level of aggravated felony, that he should not be barred from having his withholding of removal claim.
The problem here is you're dealing with Ramirez-Castro that's already held at 1203.4. Doesn't require the result that you're asking us for. How do you get around Ramirez-Castro?
Your Honor, on that one, that's, I believe, the expungement, the 1203.
Isn't that the statute from which Singh benefited?
Yes, but
and we held in Ramirez-Castro that he remains convicted for immigration purposes.
Yes, Your
that
Honor.
That has to do with things other than the validity of the conviction itself.
Yes, Your Honor, right. I'm not saying that his expungement, which has removed the conviction from his record, is why he did not commit an aggravated felony. I'm stating that the convictions themselves did not constitute aggravated felony.
I understand that, but how do you get around Ramirez-Castro?
The fact that his expungement is still considered for his convictions
you
are still...
You read Ramirez-Castro?
Parts of it, yes, Your Honor.
What do you mean, parts of it? Have you read it? I mean, you be candid.
I've read the holdings in Ramirez-Castro.
Well, okay.
How about Judge Ferguson's concurrence?
No, I just read the holding.
Well, I mean, doesn't he even Judge Ferguson's concurrence specifically says we have to look to what the consequences are or the benefits that were conferred as a result of 1203.4, and that under California law, it does not eliminate all consequences of conviction. In fact, substantial consequences remain, so that in Ramirez-Castro, he added his voice to the judgment by indicating that under those circumstances, the petitioner stood convicted under immigration law for immigration purposes. Let me go back for just one second. I want to make sure I understand. It seems to me that you're arguing, first of all, that Polaris-Galan controls. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And if you're wrong about that, then you lose, don't you?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
If you are incorrect in your interpretation of Polaris-Galan, your appeal fails, does it not?
Your Honor, my...
That's a yes or no question.
No, Your Honor, because there is no subsequent law that holds that such a misdemeanor would be considered aggravated felony.
Well, but you're arguing that Polaris-Galan says that you rely on Polaris-Galan for that proposition. That's all I'm trying to understand. You argue on it for that proposition, and then from that proposition you say it can't be an aggravated felony. Therefore, we don't even need to get to 1203.4.
Your Honor, I believe that his crime, his two misdemeanor convictions, did not reach the level of an aggravated felony because it is not per se a sexual abuse of a minor. However, uncomfortable and obscene Mr. Singh's actions were, there's no indication that he intended to touch the child or showed an abnormal sexual interest in a child.
You think that adult males exposing their genitalia to 10-year-old girls in a public place is a normal action that would not connote any sexual misconduct?
No, I did not say that, Your Honor. I said that it doesn't show an abnormal sexual interest in children.
What does it show an abnormal interest in, then? Ice cream?
No, Your Honor. I'm not saying that his actions were not obscene and were not inappropriate at all. I'm just saying, looking at the facts, you can see that he did not approach a child. The child flagged him down. The victim had dealt with him for over
2 years. I don't want to get off in the details, but he was trolling in the neighborhood is what was going on, and he attracted the children to his ice cream cart.
Yes, Your Honor, but he had driven the ice cream truck 3 years prior and never had an incident.
Yeah.
And it's and the same victim child had interactions with him over the 3 years. And I see that I've run out of time.
Thank you, counsel. We appreciate your presentation. We'll hear the other side. You can tell we're familiar with the case, so you can go right to your points.
May it please the Court, Kristen Edison for the Attorney General. As Your Honors have noted, because the immigration judge and the board found that this case, that Mr. Singh's convictions constituted sexual abuse of a minor and thus aggravated felonies, this court's jurisdiction is subject to the jurisdictional bar contained at 8 U.S.C. Section 1252A2C.
What's your reaction to the Pilares-Galan argument that's made on the other side? Do you have anything you want to tell us about that?
Well, Your Honor, as set forth in our brief, we explained that Pilares-Galan only said that Mr. Singh's conviction for annoying and molesting a child is not categorically, this court held that it is not categorically a sexual abuse of a minor. However, as explained in our brief, applying the modified categorical approach, the government's position that the immigration judge and board properly found that this was sexual abuse of a minor. So, Your Honor, Pilares-Galan dealt only with one of Mr. Singh's convictions. However, he was also convicted of indecent exposure. And it's the government's position that even if this court didn't find that both convictions, indecent exposure and annoying and molesting a child, constituted sexual abuse of a minor, one of them would be sufficient for this court to find that Mr. Singh was convicted of sexual abuse of a minor and therefore that his crime was an aggravated felony. Is that responsive to your question, Your Honor?
Yes.
I have a question about, I wasn't entirely clear on your additional submission on Afridi Gonzalez. I mean, as I read that case, it merely says that this court has jurisdiction to determine whether the BIA applied the proper standard in making its determination. I think in that instance, in the situation of whether or not this was a particularly serious crime, did you mean to say anything other than that?
No.
I mean, because I read your papers to mean more than that, but that's all I think that the case stands for. And if once we exercise our jurisdiction and determine that the proper standard has been applied, then that's as far as we can go, isn't it?
That's correct, Your Honor. I apologize if my additional citations if that was misleading. I only meant to inform the court of its holding in Afridi. However, the government maintains, as set forth in its brief, that Matsouk is controlling in this case because the immigration judge's discretionary denial is not viewable by this court.
And your position is that the immigration judge applied the proper standard?
Yes, Your Honor. I don't mean to waste this court's time. I'm happy to conclude unless this court has further questions.
I don't think so. Thank you very much, counsel.
Thank you.
Actually, Your Honor, may I backtrack for 2 seconds? I just wanted to preserve the government's argument set forth in the brief that the court also lacks jurisdiction over the CAT claim that pursuant to Section 1252C.
How does that work?
Your Honor, I just wanted to point out that 1252A2C applies to preclude relief also over the deferral claim because Mr. Singh's convictions were an aggravated felony.
All right. Thank you very much. The case just argued is ordered submitted. Thank you both.
Thank
we'll
you,
get you a decision as quickly as we can.